Told you that it's the 50-50 thing in this congregation. If I preach from there, if I preach from here. But this week, we also got a new recording system, so we can actually record our sermons and put them on our website and send them out for when you're not here, if you're that interested in that. And so I'm up here making sure it works. That's the other reason I'm up here this week. I want to talk about Paul's reading today. Fruits of the Spirit. Because I'm a gardener. Not by any means a good one. But I like to grow stuff that I can eat. Some people like flowers. I get it. I've seen some beautiful estates with amazing flowers. But I feel like if you're going to put the time and effort into it, the payoff is you should be able to eat what you're growing. And Paul's using that term, fruits of the Spirit, on purpose. He's trying to get people to think about growing, gardening, agriculture, something that the people in his time were connected with very closely. If they had any land, they tried to grow some food as a matter of sustenance for their family. The more you could do for yourself, the less you had to depend on others and spend money to buy food. And when those things are in limited supply, it was not always guaranteed you would. So what Paul does is he is laying out two ways of living, one according to the flesh and one according to the Spirit. And for a long time, we've read this passage, I don't want to say wrong, but not the way we should. Because when the Puritans got a hold of this, it just kind of became that body stuff is icky. You know, the flesh, anything that has to do with your body is icky. And the Spirit isn't interested in any of those things. And Paul isn't really saying that. Paul is talking about something a little different. And the Galatians, here's what you have to understand. The Galatians are people who some were Jews, some were Gentiles. It's the first real experiment of the church of how these two different ethnic groups are going to get along. Never easy. Right? Never easy. We see that even with our immigration issues today around the world. Never easy to see how two very different cultures are going to merge together. So what's happening is there's the Jewish community there that Paul's preaching, you are no longer bound to the law. You are set free in Jesus Christ. So all those rules, the 610 rules, and when you wash your hands, and when you eat, and when you can pick corn, and all those things, don't worry about it. You have freedom in Jesus Christ. So there are people in the community that say, freedom, that means I can do whatever I want. Excellent. And what Paul is trying to tell them is freedom, I think our founding fathers would have agreed with this point. Freedom is not the ability to do whatever you want. It's the ability to do what you should without hindrance. So Paul's saying it is different. Don't use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence. This isn't just you're free, do whatever you want. So he talks about two ways to live, by the flesh or by the Spirit. And flesh, we read that, we think body. That's not really what Paul's saying. If he meant body, he would have said body. When he says flesh, he means something a little different. And they understood at his time, he's using a word. And the word in Greek is sarx. Take that for what it's worth. But what it really means is over desires. So over desires. That primal, I want it and I want it now type of urge that we have. I see that every day with my 2-year-old. You know, I want to watch this on TV. No, honey. Throws herself on the floor. Screams. I want to watch it now, right? We, if you've had kids, if you've had grandkids, if you've taught children, if you've babysat children, you understand that, right? There's something born in us that just says, give me what I want when I want it. And we learn as we grow to control that. But what Paul's saying is that's that flesh. That's what Paul would say is the flesh, that instinct. And some of us don't learn to control it in all areas of our life. So that I want it and I want it now is what the Galatians are saying. Jesus made us free. We can live like this. I want it and I want it now. And Paul says, no, that's not what this is about. That road leads you to a bad place. And he gives a list of the things that it leads you to. Enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing. That if you follow that voice, that I want it and I want it now voice, that's where it's going to take you. God didn't set you free to do that. God set you free to be able to live by the Spirit. Not because God is some doting person who just wants to make rules that we follow, but because we're made to want the things that the Spirit gives, right? If I asked you, what do you want in your life? You would not list enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels. You would list love, joy, peace, kindness, generosity, the fruits of the Spirit. God loves you and created you to have those things. And Paul's trying to say, here's how you get there. This listening to this voice is a lie. Because we all think if we listen to that, I want it and I want it now, we'll be happy. But we aren't. And how many examples of that in our own lives or in the lives of others do we need? How many times do we need to see that to be true? And that's what Paul's saying. You think it's going to bring you somewhere, but it's not. It's only going to take you to this road of enmity, of strife, of jealousy, of anger, dissensions and quarrels, factions and envy. That's all giving into that is going to bring. So what he tells them is, first, don't listen to that voice. That's work on our part. We have to understand that I want it and I want it now and I'll be happy is a lie. And he says, live by the Spirit and bear fruit in the Spirit. Now, this is a different analogy. He's switching now to the growing, the gardening. So that little voice that says, I want it and I want it now, is there. And if we give into it, it'll lead us down this road. But with the Spirit, it's different. It's a different process. And he uses the growing. He says, here's where it'll take you. Right? He mentions those things, the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All these things that probably we would want and that God wants us to have grow from the Spirit. Now, if you are a gardener in any way, shape, or form, even an amateur gardener like myself, you know that a lot of things that happen with growing things are out of your control. They happen unseen and they happen slowly. Right? If you plant zucchini, there's going to be an amount of things that happen under the soil that you're even not aware of. And you're going to look and it's going to seem like each day, maybe it grew a little more, maybe it grew a little more. And incrementally, you're going to notice when it starts bearing fruit and when it's ready. But it happens slowly. And the Spirit isn't an instant gratification Spirit. It's why it's hard for so many of us. It's a slow growth, incrementally, day after day, week after week, month after month. That fruit just grows as the Spirit gives it growth. Now, here's the thing about growing fruit or vegetables or whatever you might grow. We don't really control it. We can create the conditions for it. So I would say Paul's analogy fits right in there. We can't make zucchini grow. We can prepare the soil. We can make sure it gets sunlight and water and hope for the best. But we can't sit there and make it grow. Some people think if they talk to their plants, it affects their plants. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. I'm not telling you not to talk to your plants, but I don't know that it would help. I'm not sure it would. I don't know if plants respond to a pep talk the way we do. But we can't make them grow. We can just create the conditions. So Paul asking us to live by the fruit of the Spirit, we can look at what are the conditions that the fruit of the Spirit is growing in our life. What's the soil? Are we in the right place? Are we surrounded by the right people? I mean, how much of an influence in our life are the people we surround ourselves with, the communities that we live and work and pray in. Are we in the right place for that? If we're not, right, I could plant my zucchini in rocks and it's not going to grow. So are we in the right soil for the fruits of the Spirit to grow? If we're not seeing those things in our life, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, then maybe we're not in the right soil. And the other thing is that plants need food. We know plants need sunlight. Are we getting enough sun? Are we getting enough food? As Episcopalians, we would have this proud tradition, this long tradition of understanding being fed by God, not only something we do with our minds through the scriptures, but also something we do in our spirits through the sacraments. There's a part of it where we take it in and we comprehend it, but there's another part of it that's mystical and full of grace in ways that we might not comprehend. And are we getting the right balance of food? Are we getting the Word of God to comprehend? And are we getting the sacraments of God to enrich our souls in ways that we may not comprehend? The Anglican tradition, our Episcopal tradition, has always said that's the food we need. We need those two things. And the last thing, the toughest one probably, is are we getting the water? Are we getting rain? Nothing can grow without water. We know that. And in our life, we probably don't like the times that we get watered, when it rains on us. But the reality is it's impossible for the fruits of the Spirit to grow in us if they aren't being watered. It's impossible to grow in patience if we don't have to exercise patience. We can't grow it in theory. Sometimes we have to pick the longest line at the supermarket to test our patience, and maybe not intentionally. I have a gift that I always pick it, no matter what. Whatever, God is always working patience in me. Whatever line I get in will automatically, something will go wrong with the register. Someone can't find their checkbook. It will always happen to me. Same thing at toll booths. We don't have those in Wyoming, but in New York, I would get in a line to pay toll, and it would always be somebody who's trying to pay in pennies. Patience, though. God gives us these opportunities all around us to practice patience. Right? That's us being watered. To practice peace, we have to meet with people who may not be the most peaceful. Right? We have to exercise peace in the midst of people who might want to have conflict. We have to exercise kindness to people sometimes that aren't returning it. To exercise generosity, we have to give without expecting a return. All these things have to happen in life that we have to find ourselves in situations where we grow in these virtues. That's God watering us, in a sense. He's giving us the opportunities to grow in patience, in love, in peace, in generosity. We need the water, too. We need the food, we need the water, we need the right soil. And if we can have those things, over time, the fruit of the Spirit grows. Paul's saying, that's what we want. All of you, if you were to write down, anyone, religious, non-religious, if you were to write down, what are the things you want to fill your life? Do you want discord, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger? No, we would never pick those things. We want love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Paul's saying, here's how you get there. God wants you to have those things. God created you to have those things. Live by the Spirit and you'll bear fruit. So if you're hearing this and you're saying, well, I don't see fruit of the Spirit in my life, I would ask you to consider those three things. What are the communities you surround yourself with? What are you feeding yourself? And are you allowing yourself to respond in times when God might be watering you, so to speak? And if you feel you're bearing good fruit, that's a wonderful thing. The last thing about fruit, this analogy where it comes complete, is it's not for the plant. I mean, my zucchini plants aren't going to grow zucchini for themselves. They're going to grow them for me. And if I have a lot, maybe some of you. But first for me, maybe some of you. Right? When we bear fruit of the Spirit, it's meant to be a blessing to the people around us. We're meant to be loving people to show love to other people, right? Not just to love ourselves in a vacuum. We're meant to be people of peace because in times of conflict, we're meant to bring that to others. We're meant to be full of generosity as a fruit of the Spirit so that we could bless other people. The same thing with all the fruits of the Spirit. They're meant to be a blessing. So if you feel the fruits of the Spirit are growing in your life, they're meant to be given away. Now, if there's anything, this is always what I get a kick out of when people say the church is becoming irrelevant. If there's anything that this week in politics has shown, and I'm not trying to preach on politics, but I found this whole United Kingdom thing pretty interesting, is that they're divided too. And so are we. Divided people. And it seems like Europe is getting more and more divided. As a people, we're just, when we give into that I want it and I want it now, that flesh that Paul talks about, what do we see? We see quarrels, we see jealousy, we see strife, we see division, we see factions, we see envy, we see dissension. We could see that quite obviously in the way things are headed, not only here, but all over the world. So I would say if there's anything we could say, the world needs the fruits of the Spirit. The world needs to be blessed by the fruits of the Spirit. Our political process needs to be blessed by it. Our social life needs to be blessed by it. The world needs to be blessed by the fruits of the Spirit that come from the Spirit of God. There is no shortage of need. There's no shortage of hunger for that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness. So I would encourage you, if you're bearing good fruit, to find ways to bless others with it. And if you're not, to consider your soil. Consider what you're feeding yourself. And maybe you might want to change direction. St. Paul says, bear fruit in the Spirit and live by the Spirit. It's his charge to the church then. God wants the church to be the same today. He wants you to be filled with the good things that the Spirit gives, and he wants the world to be blessed by them too. So if we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit and bear fruit in the Spirit as well. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.